Hello, I'm Ian Stone. Welcome to the show. Got enough football this week? Yes, squeezing a World Cup in the middle of a season does have its compensations. So stop what you're doing, put your feet up and drink it all in, because the football's on. Yes, this is the show that takes no prisoners, puts its foot in and lets you know that we're there early doors. Our guests this week are the European 200-metre breaststroke champion Mark Simmons and the inventor of the French horn, Elliot Steele. Morning.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going all right. Elliot, what have you noticed this week?
I've noticed that Alan Saint-Maxim, ever since Jack Grealish has got his Gucci deal, has stopped wearing the Gucci headband. And like, he went for Louis Vuitton for a little bit and now he's just not doing it at all. And it's just, it's a little bit of shade being thrown, isn't it, at Grealish?
Can I just ask, is a Gucci headband that different from a Louis Vuitton headband? I mean, it's a headband, right?
I've never owned either, I'm going to be honest, Ian. So
Have you not, Elliot?
No. Could you imagine me walking on stage in a Gucci headband and immediately, like, to a British audience, pints would be thrown. It would only be useful to shield me from the glass being launched at me by the people of Huddersfield or wherever I'm at that night.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine if you did. Elliot's changed, hasn't he? Mark, what about you? What have you noticed this week?
Do you remember in 2013 when Eden Hazard kicked the ball boy?
Yes.
So it was reported this week that that ball boy has created a new kind of vodka and is now worth £40 million.
What?
So, I mean, obviously getting kicked, you know, was horrendous. So no wonder he turned to drink.
Quite successfully, as it
turns out.
Wasn't his dad chairman of the club?
Oh, that might have something to do with it as well.
What a lovely story about a self-made lad.
I know.
I'm glad it all worked out for him.
Yeah, his dad helped him with the first 39 million. And he's made the well done, son. Nice work. So, the draw for the major European competitions was made last week, and don't they go on. To paraphrase Johnny Carson, 20 minutes of excitement packed into a two-hour show. But we got there in the end, and there are some intriguing storylines. Can Liverpool win the Champions League with James Milner in central midfield? Will Erling Haaland come back to haunt Dortmund? And what tactical masterstroke from Pep Guardiola will get City knocked out in the quarterfinals? Mark, the fans were eagerly waiting to see who they'd face in the group stages. Do you think that for fans of the favourites, it might be worth starting to queue for the final now?
I mean, if the French police have got anything to do with the final this year, they should definitely start queuing now.
Yeah, exactly. Elliot, I'm liking the look of Liverpool v Rangers. I mean, you know Rangers will bring 40,000 to Anfield. Only 2,500 will have tickets and a couple of them may well never go back. Whatever happened to Jimmy? Oh, he went to Liverpool for the game 9 years ago.
I'm really looking forward to the Scouse not English meeting the Scottish, but we're kind of English people in this game of in what is going to be, let's be honest, an absolutely horrible affair for everyone involved. It's going to be a real, the nation disgracing itself kind of day. But that's kind of what these games are about. Like, we're not that interested in the football. We're more interested into who's got, you know, all Rangers fan turning up dressed as Margaret Thatcher and seeing how the Scousers react to it. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Do you know, I hope that happens. But
the Anfield sign is going to be replaced by a picture of the Queen.
I'm sensing you're not into special European nights at Anfield.
I'm not into European nights of football whatsoever because I support a proper team who never qualify for it.
Okay, and the European football will all be shown live and exclusively on BT Sport. Just to let you know.
I think we found out what it's being edited.
Madrid v Celtic. That also looks like a game between European giants. Mark, we've both recently been in Edinburgh and seen the size of a Scottish breakfast. How do you think the Celtic fans will cope with tapas?
I don't know. I mean, do you reckon they'll do him some square chorizo?
Yeah, but some of the things, some of the food is deep fried anyway. I'm sure they'll be fine with that. But I'm just thinking of the size of the portions, really.
I mean, it's going to be confusing, isn't it? I mean, if you offer a drunk Scottish football fan patatas bravas, they'd be like, who's he play for?
Now, of course, they're not all going to be drunk, just so we make that clear. Yes. Bayern Munich and Barcelona are in the same group, and there is apparently beef between the two teams. The Bayern president, Uli Hoeneß, was caught smirking when the draw was made. And I should point out, if you're from Hull, I don't mean smoking. Elliot, do you think Barcelona will take a bus to Munich to save on the airfares?
Why are they signing players? Like, has anybody... Like, we are all aware, like, I think I can say this, that they have just, like, landed all of these players, isn't it, while owing everyone money.
They've done some very creative accounting, apparently.
But I'm pretty sure I'm now owed money from Barcelona. Like, the list of people that it's gone on is insane.
Good luck getting that, though, mate, is what I would say to that. In that group are Inter and Victoria Plzeň, a Czech team. Barcelona, Munich and Milan is a decent itinerary for a team like that. It's a big thing for them to get those teams. And it'd be nice little trips, but I'm not sure they're going to come away with a huge amount of points. Erling Haaland going back to Dortmund. That is a good storyline. Man City playing Dortmund for only about the 10th time in the last 15 seasons. Mark, if they win the Champions League, Erling Haaland could make even more money for his Manchester City employers. What I'm saying is, does he not have a vast Erling potential?
Wow, that is a pun.
Thank you.
That's a pun I'd be proud of.
I know.
you're coming close to Erling yourself a round of applause, Ian.
Thank you very much. That's the same pun, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah, but then cut your one and just keep mine in.
Okay.
So obviously he's got lots of earning potential. I mean, shampoo ads.
He could. He absolutely could. The draw for the Europa League also happened. Arsenal got PSV Eindhoven of the Netherlands, Bodo of Glimt in Norway, and FC Zurich of Switzerland. Elliot, Bodo of Glimt sounds like a character in Game of Thrones.
I don't know anything about him. I've got nothing to. This is my level when the football's on. Good for them. I hope they don't progress, because when I'm next back on this show, I'm also going to be embarrassed as I don't know any more about them. I've never hoped a team bow out of football so quickly.
And you wouldn't have watched the games anyway, as we know.
No. I watch an Arsenal game on the off chance that they lose. Yeah. I enjoy.
Oh no!
I'm looking forward
for
to their to your mid-season collapse after you've all decided you're winning the league after beating the bottom four teams.
Listen, mate, you're on thin ice with the whole thing about not watching the Champions League. Don't. meanwhile, Manchester United got FC Sheriff Tiraspol, who are apparently from Moldova. Real Sociedad and Omonia Nicosia. There are some decent teams in the Europa League. Red Star Belgrade, or as they're now known, Crvena Zvezda, is just so evocative to people of my age, certainly, of a running track round the pitch with armed soldiers and large Alsatians. The Europa Conference League draw was made. West Ham drew two Danish teams in Silkeborg, Viborg and Anderlecht of Belgium. Mark, do you fancy a weekend of beer, waffles and chocolate? I'm sorry, it does sound like I'm asking you on a date.
Well, I was going to say, because the game's a midweek, so maybe we should talk about this afterwards, Ian.
Okay, your hair does look good today, though, I must say.
Thanks very much.
That's all right. One team that won't be there are Linfield. They were 1-0 up with about 40 seconds to go, had a 4-on-1. I mean, they could have passed it in, but essentially they passed it back to the goalkeeper. And 20 seconds later, the ball was at the other end, own goal from a Linfield player, and they are out of Europe. And then they lost on a penalty shootout, in fact.
That's what the Champions League needs more of.
I'm laughing, but that is, I mean, you wouldn't get over that in a while, would you, really?
No, that would hang over.
Elliot, Europe is like a thing that teams play in when they get good enough.
We people at Palace want us to get Europe, and I want us to get in a position to get Europe and then hand it to someone else before the squad depth depletes us.
We're going to talk about Palace, and we do like them as well, and we particularly like your manager, but we'll get to that in a minute. There are a lot of teams in the Europa Conference League that we may never have heard of, so we thought we'd have a quick game of what country are they from. I'll just name a team. You have to guess the country. Elliot, FC Pyunik, I think it is. Pyunik. Where do you think they might be from?
I'm going to say Iceland.
It's decent. It's actually a decent guess, but it's Armenia. It's about 4,000 miles away. It was close aside from that. It's apparently Armenian for Phoenix, and they are currently eighth in the Armenian Premier League. Mark, I'll do one for you. There's not a lot of clues from this one. They're RFS FC. Where do you think RFS FC might be from?
Slovenia?
No. Again, a decent guess. Latvia. Latvia.
That was close.
To give them their full name. They're FK Rigas Footballer Scholar, and they're currently third in the Latvian Higher League. Ooh, pretentious. Elliot. Balkany.
Balkany.
Where are Balkany from, Elliot?
Turkey.
No, not far away though, geographically. Kosovo, in fact. Third in the Football Super League of Kosovo. I do think the word Super League is doing quite a bit of heavy lifting in that sentence. The last one, Mark, this is for you. FC Vaduz. FC Vaduz, I like the sound. That's the sound the ball makes when it hits the net gently. Vaduz, where are they from?
I can't even remember what ones we've said already.
Lithuania? Think of a country.
Have we done Lithuania?
No, they are from Switzerland. Currently ninth. I know. Currently ninth in what is known as the Swiss Challenge League.
I was going to say Switzerland, and I thought that's too obvious.
Yeah, well, I like to mix it up a little bit. Well done, by the way. Well done. Well done, by the way, if you've got any of those at home. I feel like just like Richard Osman on Pointless at that point. So let's check in on the soap opera that is Manchester United. Their most recent fixture was against Southampton. That's two wins on the bounce for Manchester United, and things are looking up. But that is also two games that Harry Maguire hasn't been picked. Mark, can we see a time when Erik ten Hag is walking around the back streets of Manchester singing "Young Boy, Boy for Sale"? What do you think?
How much would they sell him for?
50 million, there or thereabouts.
Is that what they reckon? Don't tell Maguire that, or we'll get an even bigger head.
Well, quite. Down from 80, though. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not sure they're going to get much more for him. Elliot, we knew that sooner or later United were going to get their act together, but they could have given us a couple more months of disaster, couldn't they?
Have they got their act together? They've won two in a row. They've spent near enough 200 million quid. That's £100 million per win.
Yeah, you know, if you do the maths like that, you're absolutely right. But the way they started, the way they collapsed against Brentford, I mean, they've steadied the ship, I think, is what people would say.
Yeah, with 200 million quid. That's not... they're all glazers out 30, you know, minutes ago. And now that they've got a new shiny player, they go, oh, yeah, this is brilliant. They're an absolute joke of a club. I will never not laugh at Manchester United doing badly. It started to border on being unfunny and just coming sad. But then it got funny again.
Yeah.
And this is what we want. We want them to have a little bit of hope and then for it to be taken away from them. And so they can all start going online and screaming Glazers out again. And then they'll buy someone else for £90 million and be like, well, you just, you know, what a club.
Could you maybe...
I like them.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, whatever happens in the short term, we know that even with the Glazers bleeding the club dry, as Elliot alluded to there, there's still pots of money at Old Trafford. I mean, they're doing all right, aren't they, Mark? To be fair, if you've got a Lamborghini and you're the assistant manager, I think, your assisting is going well.
Well, yeah. I mean, anyone with a Lamborghini, like, it's, yeah. I mean, do they ever say how much managers and things earn? Because with footballers, you always know, don't you? But do we know how much money he earns? I mean, it must be a lot.
Hang on a minute. Let me just, I'll find his pay slip. I've got it here amongst some papers. I should be able to find out. No, I have no idea. But if you've got a Lamborghini, I imagine you're doing all right, to be honest with you. Meanwhile, Crystal Palace continue to make progress under the living God. That is Patrick Vieira, a combination of willing runners, some of the noisiest fans in the Premier League, and prohibitive parking restrictions make Selhurst Park a nightmare for visiting teams. Elliot, you've got to be happy with the start they've made.
Yeah, it's great, even though we lost 4-2. What a way to lose 4-2. We lost to who's going to be one of the best strikers in the world pretty soon.
Yes.
It's just, even when we went 2-0 up, it is sort of like Manchester City do have those extra gears that we don't have. But to score against City at the Etihad is an achievement in itself.
You playing there, don't you? You actually do enjoy playing there.
Me personally? No, I never have. But I
All right. God, dear. We understand that none of us play for our teams. I was instrumental in Arsenal's 2-1 win over Fulham, and I was sitting in a kitchen in Edinburgh cheering them on. So, you know, we did well. But I take your point. I mean, is it the best Palace team since the Venables era? You don't remember the Venables?
Well, I don't remember that, but I it's definitely the most exciting Palace team that I've ever seen. And I think it shows that when you play good football, even if you don't quite get the result and you're a mid-table side, it's exciting because you go into games thinking, oh, hold on, we can actually get something here and not just drag on and hope that you get a goal off a corner or something like that. You actually think, oh, one of our players is going to do something, and it's just fun to go into games with that kind of excitement.
I mean, Patrick Vieira, Mark, has been in the job for less time than Lampard and Gerrard and seems to be doing considerably better. Could they challenge for a place in Europe, do you think? I mean, Palace is handy for Gatwick, isn't it? Could you imagine if they got drawn against the team and the only flights were from Stansted?
Oh, absolute nightmare. I don't really care. But I think, you know, I think the best thing about Palace being in Europe and that taking a flight would be that we could say the Eagles have landed.
Yeah. Well, you could say that.
I think we're still a player or two away from challenging for Europe. And now with the amount that strikers cost, you spend 80 million on a striker and it's a gamble.
Yeah.
So No, I think there's too many good. I think the standard of the Prem is really high at the minute, apart from your City that are going to, you know, are potentially run away with it, I reckon.
Yeah, Bournemouth don't look too good, but I agree. Between those two teams, there are some decent teams, aren't there? I mean, Palace, while you're talking about transfers, Elliot, Palace have offered 27 million quid for Conor Gallagher. I mean, aside from whether they're trying to test whether Chelsea's new American owners understand the transfer market and exchange rates, I mean, you'd love to have him back, wouldn't you? You'd take him while he's suspended for his red card.
Okay, so what I'm going to say is going to annoy a lot of Palace fans. I think Conor Gallagher is a really good player. I don't think he's necessarily who we need. I think what he did was come in and finally played some nice attacking football from the midfield, which we hadn't seen for a while. And we mistook that as like, this guy's incredible, which he was really good. Whereas he was just, we never replaced Johan Kabay. And we hadn't seen that kind of, you know, someone pushing forward as much and being able to play a pass into an area and take a shot and do everything that a really good midfielder can do. So I thought Gallagher was replaceable, but I would like to see him back, but I don't want us to break the bank for him. And I don't want him to come back when he wants to play for Chelsea. And then he's, you know, he's unsettled at the club.
Well, absolutely fair enough. That probably will annoy a few Palace fans, but 27 million quid, I think, would still represent a bit of a bargain for a player of that standard. But I do.
Oh, no, I'd definitely take it for 27 million quid, but I don't think we'll get him for that amount.
I do. I do agree, though, they're an exciting team to watch and with an exciting manager as well, as we've said. Let's have a quick game of Who Am I? I give the boys some clues and they have to guess who I'm talking about. Okay, here we go. I played 53 times for England over a 12-year period. I hold the record for the most tackles in the Premier League. I started my career at Aston Villa and I ended it at West Brom.
I think I got this.
Let's go to Mark first.
I've gone blank. I can't think of anyone who played for West Brom that's played for England.
West Bromwich fans, write I'm in so sorry. To Mark Simmons.
Mm-hmm. My Twitter handle is at Elliot Steele.
Strangely, it's weird that you do that. Any clue there, Mark? Any clue?
No. I mean, it's going to be someone that in the middle of their career is very famous for playing for who they played for.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's pass it over.
Elliot, I think you know this one.
No, I do. You know what? Coming to think of it, I don't think I do. I was the only person I can think of, but the thing that's thrown me is that this person can't hold the record for most tackles in the Premier League, but I was going to guess Kieran Gibbs, but I don't think he played for England that amount of time.
No, he didn't. Play for England that many times. Or he did have a couple of caps, I believe.
Yeah.
It is Gareth Barry, ladies and gentlemen. Gareth Barry. Played... He's one of those guys. He's like James Milner, isn't it? When you watch a compilation from the Premier League from 2002, you go, is that Gareth Barry there? As like a, 18-year-old or something. Anyway, Gareth Barry started his career at Aston Villa, ended it at West Brom. I don't think, Mark, he got many caps for England when he was playing at West Brom. So you are technically correct. But I'll leave you to open your own mailbag. Anyway, so Howard Webb is taking over at the PGMOL and he's on a mission. He's pledged to cast video technology in a different light and give extra insight to fans. Elliot, I'd be happy with any insight, wouldn't you? I mean, right now, if you're in the stadium, it's like it's a top secret thing and it's all on a need-to-know basis. Was he offside? Well, the VAR has to meet a man on a bridge wearing a red carnation.
I'm going to say exactly what everyone, and I imagine everyone, I'm going to say what's already been said and everyone who's watching this show is thinking. It's there for clear and obvious errors, and then we're spending 5 minutes getting precise with these lines when it should just be, right, this is taking too long. The original decision stands. Otherwise, we might as well leave everything to the VAR. And when it's good, but it does seem to favour the top side. Which has been the issue with everything with refereeing. Well, not Arsenal, because you're not quite a top side. It's gone against you quite a lot as well. But for example...
It might just be that the top sides are doing things right.
Doing more attacking as well.
Maybe.
Why are you defending...
Because West Ham are a top side now.
Do you know what you are? You're like one of those people when the cost of living crisis is announced who's like, well, we had it fine in the 70s. We just used to eat rats and
excuse burn me.
It. You're like, well, what are you on?
1985.
So, but I think it needs to, like Palace on the weekend, that got City, what's his name?
That was a joke. That should have been a goal.
Goal and it's not given and VAR doesn't intervene and doesn't, because it's Manchester City.
You know you'd have lost 4-3, but it doesn't matter, really. I mean, it is true though. Do you think maybe they should do it, Elliot, like a countdown clock? I mean, basically, they start making a decision, the countdown clock starts and after 30 seconds, they have to make a decision at that point. We'd be okay with that, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I think if you're looking at something and you've got to change the angles because someone's put a high foot in and stuff, it's potentially dangerous, fine. But when it's an offside and you're going to take 3 minutes, and then we're going to review what's happening on this, and then we're going to review what's here, just let the goal stand. Let the original decision stand.
I agree. And Mark, they made VAR work in the MLS, and I'm wondering if they're going to explain it to the fans in the same way. You know, some announcement. Number 14, Arsenal fingernail over the line, free kick defence.
I mean, like Elliot said, it's clear VAR hasn't worked. And it is ironic that the FA won't go back and relook at it.
But yeah, that is a fair point.
So I don't watch MLS like you guys do.
Oh, I love MLS.
But so is the idea that it's more efficient over there, right? Is that what they're saying?
They're used to stoppages and they don't take too long. And American sport is a slightly different thing. They like to keep people in the stadium appraised of what's happening. Whereas in this country, they just leave us standing there for 2 minutes while they just sort of have a look in a room 100 miles away. It's a joke.
The thing is, all the players I know that have gone there to play are all sort of past it now. So is it more efficient or is it just seeming like it is because the players take a lot longer to get back into their own half after a goal?
It's possible that's it as well, you know. So, time for our little quiz. I asked the guests 5 questions, 3 on last weekend's action and 2 on general knowledge. Here's the league table so far. Lloyd Griffith started very well and Nathan Caton at the top of the table. There's no actual reason why Nathan is below Lloyd, but there you go. Anyway, we'll see how the boys get on. First up is Mark Simmons. Mark.
Hello.
Who got the assist for Pablo Fornal's winner versus Aston Villa on Sunday? Was it Rice, Kufal or Benrahma?
Oh no, Rice.
It was Declan Rice. Very, very good. 1 out of 1. Total guess though, wasn't it? How many minutes did the new signing Emerson Palmieri play at Villa Park before being subbed? Was it 30, 45 or 60?
60.
No, it was 45. B. David Moyes opted half-time for an attacking change at half-time, taking Emerson off for side Benrahma. Question 3. Who is the oldest player in the West Ham squad this season? Is it Fabianski, Randolph or Dawson?
Fabianski.
It is Lucas Fabianski, yes. 37 years of age. Still a decent keeper though. Okay, what was West Ham United's original name, Mark? Was it the Thames Ironworks, the Borough of West Ham or Canning Town Irons?
Thames Ironworks.
It was. The club was initially named Thames Ironworks in 1895 before changing its name to West Ham United in 1900. That, I believe, is 3 out of 4. And the last one, which of these players to go joint top of the league, which of these players scored the most goals for West Ham? Was it A, Jermaine Defoe, B, Tony Cotti or C, Paolo Di Canio?
Oh, this is so annoying.
I'll have to hurry you.
Sorry. I want to say Cotti, but I've got a feeling it's Di Canio. Let's go Di Canio.
And it is Di Canio. Paolo Di Canio scored 50 goals for the Hammers in 138 games. Mark scored 4 out of 5, goes joint top of the league with Lloyd Griffith and Nathan Caton. Next up is a slightly worried looking Elliot Steele. Okay, Elliot, here we go. Who got the assist for Joachim Andersen's goal versus Manchester City on Saturday? Was it Jeff Schlupp, Odson Edouard or Eberechi Eze?
It was Eze.
It was Eberechi Eze's corner, made it 2-0 to the away side, although not for long. 1 out of 1. How many minutes were between Erling Haaland's first and third goals versus Crystal Palace goal? Was it 16, 19 or 22?
I believe it was 16.
It was 19, actually. It was 19 minutes. Erling Haaland scored in the 62nd, 70th and 81st minute, completing his first and probably not last Premier League hat-trick. Sorry about that, Elliot. But you won't be the last one to get done by him. Who is the youngest player in the Crystal Palace squad this season? Is it Olise, Ebiowe or Chris Richards?
I think it's Chris Richards.
It is Malcolm Ebiowe, 18 years old. He was born in 2003. I have electrical equipment older than him. Anyway, 1 out of 3, Elliot. Oh, All right, Elliot, here we go. Who described Frank de Boer as the worst manager in the history of the Premier League after his dreadful stint as Palace manager? Was it you, by the way? It might have been. It wasn't you. Was it Jose Mourinho, Tim Sherwood or Louis van Gaal?
I'm going to say Tim Sherwood.
It's Jose Mourinho. Oh. Like, Tim Sherwood cannot describe anyone as the worst manager in the Premier League. Yes.
Oh God, I always have a disaster on this quiz, Ian. It's humiliating. It's humiliating.
So entertaining for the rest of us. Jose Mourinho. De Boer only managed Palace for 450 minutes of game time. That is the shortest managerial reign in modern Premier League history. One out of four, Elliot. Which of these players did Palace pay the highest transfer fee for? Was it Mamadou Sakho, Odson Edouard or Christian Benteke?
Christian Benteke.
It was. Benteke cost the Eagles just under 30 million quid when they bought him from Liverpool in 2016. Only a consolation, though. Elliot scored two out of five. Mark, joint top. Joint top, mate. Well done. You must be very pleased.
Over the moon with that guess for Rice. Brilliant.
Was excellent. Elliot, you know, lower mid-table. Very Palace, if I may say.
We're gonna by the end of the season, I'll go on a run and destroy it for the people at the top for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
Okay. Well, let's see how you go. Mark will, of course, be pleased to know that West Ham got their first 3 points of the season at the weekend. But it hasn't been an ideal start for the Hammers. David Moyes said that the booing at the London Stadium is stopping players coming to the club. I mean, Mark, if you were invited to a comedy club and they booed off a couple of decent comics, you might be reluctant to take the gig, right?
No, I don't mind following you, mate.
You two are pushing it today. I mean, I really feel you're invited as guests and this is the sort of treatment I get.
I mean, you can sort of understand them not wanting to sign, you know, go on, be booed every week. I was thinking, would I do it? Would I put up with that for £60,000 a week?
Yeah, that is a fair question, I must say. I mean, surely Moyes was sat next to them going, this doesn't happen every week.
I know.
It must be. It's a little bit embarrassing, isn't it? Usually, they're really good. Elliot. Do we think that three games in is a bit early for booing? I mean, Christmas is the time for booing, surely. Sorry, that should read boozing. Sorry.
I think we do this thing where the Prem starts, where we just want it to be back so much, so we start treating it as it, you know, I do it as well. Like, you go, people go, ah, oh, well, City, could they go unbeaten already? And they start saying all these things, are Arsenal going to get Champions League? But we're only four games in. It takes about 10 games for teams to really find out what's going on and play under a system or bring in, you know, the new transfers to fit in. So I think we just do it just because the football's back.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually, about that. Everyone's just very, very excited. And then, obviously, conversely, very disappointed when things don't go well. Although West Ham did lose to Brighton, the game we're talking about, and Brighton have obviously had a great start. The point is, teams will lose games. I don't remember people booing off their team in the 1970s. Yes, there was fighting, racism and awful toilet facilities, but no one booed. Mark, has the nature of watching football changed? People are now customers. No one who ever went to Millwall would see themselves as a customer.
I don't think you can treat Millwall as customers because a customer's always right and clearly they're wrong.
Yeah, but people have paid good money and they expect a good performance, don't they? And that is a problem, really. Whereas when you paid 50p to go and watch the game, you went, oh, that wasn't very good. Okay.
The thing is, like, it's all about the jeopardy. If it was good all the time, it would be rubbish. I mean, that's why they can't fill the Etihad. Do you know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's just nature of sport, isn't it? Like, if you want it to be good every time, just watch wrestling.
Do you know what? I didn't know what you were going to say then, but wrestling was not my first choice, I would say.
What would you have said?
Sorry?
What would you have said? What would you have gone for? And I'll just say it again.
I don't know. I would say watch Martin Scorsese films.
Okay. Just watch Martin Scorsese films. There you go. Snip, snip.
I wasn't saying that you should say. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I guess the mood at West Ham has not been helped by the price of the beer. 2 weeks ago on this show, we talked about how a pint at West Ham cost a frankly scandalous £7.30. Can you believe that, Elliot? £7.30 for a pint of beer. Since the show went out, the cost of a pint at West Ham has now dropped to a merely outrageous £6.60. I'm very glad that they're listening to us. All right, no, they're listening to us. If any other fans are not happy with something at their club, send us a message and we'll highlight the problem in a comedic fashion and hopefully things will change for the better. Just
West
think
Ham
of us
could do winning more, Ian.
Emergency service. What was that?
Can we try and get West Ham to win more? Can you say something to get that to happen?
Okay, I'll do what I can, okay? Now, with the pots of money washing around football, the players spend their money on all sorts of fripperies. Some, like Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, get their cars wrapped. Others spend it on questionable fashion items. Whatever, there's no doubt that footballers are now style icons. Elliot, would you ever wear something because Wilf Zaha wore it first?
Probably, yeah. I'm very much a sheep. I have zero originality about me, so I would go for it because a man who kicks a football in an area I'm from has worn it. It's very sad.
Yeah. Mark, if Pablo Fornals got his hair cut in a certain way, would you go into the barbers and say, give me a Fornals?
I mean, obviously not. I'm very loyal to the Boris at the moment. But it would be nice because, you know, at the end of the haircut, when they say, you know, do you want any more off? You could go, that's enough Fornals.
You could do that. And if they said something for the weekend, you say, I can't, I'm playing. Elliot, I grew up watching football in the 70s. The players were considered flash if they got the Mark II Cortina. Now they're turning up in gold Lamborghinis. It's not really relatable, is it?
No, but it shouldn't be. They're footballers. I want them to be better than me. That's the whole point.
No, but it never used to be that way. I mean, I'm not saying they should travel home on the bus, but it used to be that they at least came from similar backgrounds. Now they've got ridiculous haircuts and jewellery that I couldn't even begin to afford, even on my BT Sports salary. And, you know, the whole thing, they seem like, I mean, maybe they are because they're elite athletes. You're saying you don't want them to be like us.
Yeah, I like it when they're flashy. I think it's good because then it means when they start, it's, well, for example, with Aubameyang, that was the whole thing that Arsenal fans hated him by the end because he was just so flashy, but then he wasn't doing anything on the pitch. So then it gives you that reason to be like, look, he's got a Lamborghini, he's got all this, and he can't be bothered to turn up to training on time. Like, get him out. And it gives you, you know, something to talk about in life.
Tattoos, by the way, are another big trend amongst the football elite. Although if, by the time you're watching this, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has signed for Chelsea, he may want to cover up the big Arsenal tattoo. Elliot, have you got any ink?
Yeah, I've got a tiger on my ribs.
Right. And what if at some point you don't like the tigers and you want to go for lions? Do you have to, what do you do? Cover it up?
Well, you just live it. Do you know what the thing with tattoos is? You get it and you just forget you have them and then it just comes part of it. You just stop. When people are like, oh, you regret it, you really just, you're just ambivalent towards them.
When you first got the tiger, though, when it first done, was it a bit raw?
That's how we have to end the show, ladies and gentlemen. We can't top that, can we, really? A quick note before we go about the highly unusual occurrence of 2 9-0s on the same weekend. Liverpool beat Bournemouth and Celtic beat Dundee United. Mark, all the recent 9-0s in the Premier League have been against either Southampton or Bournemouth. Does it happen exclusively against teams who used to be managed by Harry Redknapp? Should Spurs be worried?
You can't blame Harry Redknapp. He's not been there for ages. It's like, I don't know, it'd be like blaming the current economical crisis on David Cameron. Oh, hang on.
Oh.
A political statement.
I know. Who are you anymore? Elliot, your team famously took a 9-0 thrashing at the hands of Liverpool years ago. Does a shadow pass across your dad's face when he talks about it?
Why? You really hate Crystal Palace here.
No, I don't. I genuinely don't. It's more you.
I love the idea that you're going, no, it's not business. It's completely personal. This is, Yeah, I mean, but that was, when was that?
Oh, it was 1884, I think it was.
Yeah, so you'd have just started going to the football, so you not.
Back at you, nice. Okay, that's it for the show. Thanks to Elliot Steele on his farewell performance and also Mark Simmons. I've been Ian Stone, and thanks for watching. See you next week.